You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
There are so many variations on boy meets girl stories that it can come as a surprise when you see an unusual take on the theme. But the new Paul White's play, Lonely I'm Not, led Ben Brantley of the Times to rave. It has the sweet suspense, elliptical construction, and off-kilter charm of an ideal Hollywood rom-com, the kind that you can hope that you hope, usually in vain, is coming to a screen near you. It helps a lot that the mismatched matched pair are played by Olivia Thirlby and Topher Grace, who, while no stranger to movies and television, is making his off-Broadway debut here. Lonely I'm Not has been extended at the Second Stage Theater on West 43rd Street until just next Sunday, June 3rd. I'm very pleased it has brought both Topher Grace and Olivia Thirlby to our show today. Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Haven't both of you worked with Paul White's before, but in movies?
That is true. We both have.
You were in Being Flynn?
Yes.
I did In Good Company with him.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And in which you played a rather young man who became Dennis Quaid's boss.
That's right. But more importantly, I made out with Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, so you get to make
Paul
out
Paul likes to
with
put
him.
Me in these fantastic situations.
Is that why you want to appear in his in the things that he writes?
Exclusively. It's the only reason. No, I have to play these very troubled young men for him, but I do get to make out with really beautiful young women, so it comes out in the wash.
It works out well for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, what about for you, Olivia? What's in it for
you? What's in it for you?
But being in Paul White's Good Graces is a really great place to be. And it's a supreme compliment when someone who you've worked with and who you respect immensely, comes to you with another opportunity to collaborate and work together.
Right, it means something it, the first time.
It means
really
something the
means
first
something
time.
The second
yeah,
time,
exactly, right. exactly. It really, really means something. And I worked with Paul, during this year and had a wonderful time with him. He wrote and directed a really beautiful film, Being Flynn, and when he approached me, it was just to ask me to participate in a table read of this script, but I loved it so much that I started to put the pressure on the powers that be to let me actually, perform it.
Well, you actually have had quite a bit of theater experience.
Yes.
And Topher, you've escaped?
Yes. I was so nervous. I was at the table read with Olivia, and I thought she did an amazing job. I thought the play was going to be great. But I had never acted in a play except for one or two high school plays, which I promise you were the worst productions of, whatever given Broadway classic.
What were they?
A funny thing happened away in the Forum.
Oh, boy.
which actually was the one I was scouted for that 70s show in.
That's where your career began, actually.
The girl who did the sets, her parents were big Hollywood producers. And they, by the way, they kind of said to me after the show, we know you're going to USC next year. This is my senior year in high school, at a boarding school up here in New Hampshire. They said, can we call you when you get to LA? And I thought they meant to be their assistant or something. And I said, sure, babe, have your people call my people. We'll do lunch, like Hollywood. and then a year later, I was on the show. But I took that as a sign to never return to the stage.
Which show? You're talking about the 70s
show?
And you wound up in that for 7 years.
So. It was crazy. It had been my first audition. And I actually flew myself to New York before I accepted this role because I kind of didn't know if I could project. I've never been in a situation where I had to project either my voice or a small emotion,
And the big problem with projecting, it seems to me, as somebody who has seen some people who just sound like they're barking out everything, is making it sound like you're not shouting, you're not projecting, make it sound as natural as possible.
Yeah, but a lot of actors that I've seen be in films and television who are very natural in film and television sometimes then come to the stage and feel that they have to put on their, I have no training, so maybe they went to stage training for 5 years or something, but I feel like they put on some other stage personality that is louder and more projected, and the piece called for really natural stuff like what we had done in Good Company. So I didn't know if I could like you're saying, project yet not
but you've
do
worked
it,
too it out. Was it easy to work out for you?
I think he discovered that he actually had quite a handle on it.
Olivia was so patient. Olivia is so talented and was so on top of being talented.
I paid him to say that before this.
Very patient with me. I mean, like, I remember asking questions like, what if I forget a line? Olivia's like, you got to figure it out. Or I remember saying, remember when the director said, there's a term in theater where they say you went up on the line, which means you forgot it. Like, you went up on that line. And Tripp came up to me, our director, and said, you went up on that line. And I went, I should go lower on it. I remember Olivia just rolling her eyes like, whoa, here we go.
Well, so it's a learning experience. Your characters here, Porter and Heather, wouldn't seem to be on the surface to be meant for each other. And yet, when a mutual friend set you up, he says he knew you'd be okay because you're both so screwed up.
That's not the exact language, but yeah.
This is family radio.
Yes, exactly. I think that we've often talked about the idea of Porter being like an open wound. Just kind of gaping and festering. And there's something about that which Heather, in all of her kind of quirky, very polished, very put together, very capable at all times, she's very endeared to this man who can't help but be bluntly honest to his own detriment.
We should mention that Porter is handicapped in the sense that he's had a nervous breakdown 4 years ago.
He was once a great success.
Great success in business. Young,
and his kind of, he kind of hasn't gotten back on the horse after
But and Heather is handicapped
breakdown.
In the sense that she is sightless.
Yes.
So she actually kind of has her act together.
Driven.
Yeah, she's very driven and doing well in the business world. Yeah.
She does. She has a lot to prove. There's something about Porter kind of having nothing to prove and actually being over having to prove anything to anyone, even himself, that I think there's something about that she finds easy and important.
Well, aren't these people most of the rest of us would be a bit wary about entering into a relationship with because of their various areas of Michigan's?
Yes, and a real combustible situation is the two together. But Paul wrote a script, I think, like the great romantic comedies that I loved growing up that were more substantive than some of the rom-coms maybe I grew up with in the 90s. You know, some like kind of classic romantic comedies had people who were very, very flawed. And somehow those flaws fit each other like puzzle pieces kind of.
My guests are Topher Grace, who plays Porter, and Olivia Thirlby, who plays Heather in Paul Weitz's Lonely I'm Not, now at the Second Stage Theater at 305 West 43rd Street, and running only until this Sunday. You have to leave because there's something else coming in?
Yeah,
yes.
We were extended a week, so this is actually, we should have ended a little while ago.
Yesterday, 2 days ago. But it's a very tight schedule at Second Stage.
Now, you've said, Olivia, you've had incredible experience. You worked in the American Globe Theatre, the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts in London.
I worked there. I studied.
Okay.
One day they'll hire me. I don't know. It's always been my dream to be on stage.
Okay, you studied at RADA, which is, a lot of people love to have that on their resume. But you've said that this is the most difficult part, challenging role you've ever played.
It is, yeah.
Because of the sight issue?
I thought it was going to be just because of the, playing a character who's blind.
It was working with me.
Exactly. As it turns out, it's been Topher. There's a tremendous physicality that has to come along with playing somebody who is sightless. So initially I thought that would be probably my biggest challenge, and I thought that I really understood this character and had a handle on her. But of course it turns out... about the time that I got a handle on the physicality of playing a blind person and really started to feel familiar with that, I realized that I had no idea who Heather was or what she was like and had to try to start building her up. So it's kind of twofold difficult. I've never played a role that had a big physicality along with it. But I don't think I've ever played a character who's so different from the way that I am.
But you can research one. thing.
Yes.
You can see how other blind people.
Absolutely.
You can't. The other thing has just to do with acting.
The other one does seem to have to become the character you are
saying these lines.
Right. Much more to do with intuition, and I can research, corporate analysis and, law school and all these things that I might know intellectually about how Heather's mind works, but a lot of it's just imagination.
But also in acting, a lot of it has to do with looking at each other and reacting to each other.
Yeah, that was very strange for me. I was told from when I started 70s, which is the first day I started acting, that to look at the other actor in the eyes and connect, and that audiences are attracted to that connection. Olivia was so committed to playing someone who's blind and doing it the right way that she started from day one. So I made very little eye contact with her ever.
As our characters, I don't think we've ever made eye contact.
Yes. On stage for sure.
Yeah.
And then one night we went to see The Best Man. We went to the opening because we had the night off. And we were in the cab, and I was like talking to you, and she looked up at me, and I, whoa, like I started like.
And really, now you're looking at each other. I guess you've gotten past that problem.
We're far away from being Heather and Porter at the moment, but it is interesting to, we go through it, every night on stage, 8 times a week. We forge this bond, this like deep connection and affection, and we do it without ever looking at each other or making eye contact. Well, you're looking at me,
I'm sure.
I get
to look at you the whole time, yeah.
But, for me, I'm usually seeing double.
That's right, you blur your eyes or something.
Yeah, I do. I like put my eyes out of focus so that they're not actually seeing too much, and I'm usually looking somewhere around your collar or to the left or right of your face.
I don't feel like it's any less, though, to answer your question. I'm actually, to be honest, I've never repeated something this many times. The most I've done is maybe 8 takes on a film or something, and then you move on. And a year later, you kind of see that scene.
How many shows do you think we've done by now? 50-something?
Yeah,
50-something?
60, yeah. And I've never had an experience like I've had with Olivia, and I'm so thankful that she was my partner in it. I now realize what a nightmare it would be if you hated someone you were doing a stage play with. Unless you were supposed to play 8 every night, and then it would be awesome.
Right.
On the other hand, because you've been doing it for 50 performances, you could, in normal runs, go a lot longer than that. Have you come to appreciate why some people prefer to work in theater?
Yes. It's a completely different animal, and I was a total novice like 2 months ago and really, really scared. And this has helped me get over that, just the initial fear of doing it. And then it's like there are 3 different levels. First, you're scared because I didn't know if I could memorize 1.5 hours of stuff and do it for – you're much more scared for 300 people than for – I've been in
when you're doing a TV show, all you have to remember is the lines for the next scene.
Yeah. Or then – yeah, not even. I mean, you can kind of stop and say like line, which you can't do on stage. By the way, I was so nervous. I don't think I've messed up more than like maybe the order of a line. I don't think I've ever forgotten the line.
Cheat sheet is still up there.
We're on the radio. But there's one speech that I put a little thing because I got so nervous opening night.
But he hasn't used it since the first week. But it is still there because I actually think that people now use it as a mark.
Right.
I use it as my place for the ending of the show. And I can actually kind of see it because it's like a piece of paper.
I really have never been – I mean some of the I remember – Saturday Night Live here in New York.
Well, that was once. In front of an audience.
That's, you could say, not only is it an audience of about the number of people that are, here at our show, but then also it's a live audience and there are millions of people listening. But there's something about, someone told me something that made me feel better, which is like 10 people would be scarier. And it's true. There's something about the intimate relationship you have with the audience. And every night the show is a little different because of the audience. And we did have a live audience on 70's show. And I love that participation, that conversation you have with the audience every night. That's been the best part of this for me.
Now, Olivia, your experience is kind of opposite to Tover's because you have been in some films, but mostly theater. You've been in Juno, The Wackness. This is your first leading role, isn't it?
On stage, yeah. It is my first leading role on stage. I mean, since I was a teenager performing in school plays. And those were amazing experiences, but of course very different because you rehearse for 2 months and then you have four performances versus and also I went to a Quaker school, so even roles are shared so that everybody has a chance to you know, be in the play if they want to. So if you have a leading role, you might only get one performance. And so this is very different. We rehearse for 3 weeks. We have a fourth week of tech, and then we go on for a couple of months. So this has been my first leading role on stage, and it's certainly a challenge.
Topher, is this character a continuation of the guy you played in Good Company?
It's not for me. It might have been when Paul first started writing it. He didn't know me when he wrote in Good Company. But we knew each other very well when he wrote this and had such a positive experience working together. He's definitely similar. There are a couple lines where, he said his dad was in a cult, which he said in the other film. And
yeah, we should point out both of these people have parent problems. Your character's father is a con man who was once in a cult. And Olivia, your mother's character is... bit
she's
controlling.
She's just a bit overprotective, and she.
Well, you're blind, and everybody's kind of overreacts.
Of course,
to that.
She kind of seems to have some issues with men, which she has no qualms about imparting straight to her daughter.
That's true.
Acting as a good role model.
Yes, exactly. But Heather, people tend to react to her in kind of two different ways, which I think the play showcases. One is that people tend to worship her. And just completely, think that she's incredible for accomplishing pretty basic tasks such as, like, living alone or, having a job or an apartment. And then the other way that people react to her is they underestimate
her.
And
Porter doesn't either. He just kind of doesn't. He realizes that she has her act so much more together than he does.
Yeah. You have a beard now. Do people recognize you on the street in New York?
It's cut down on it, which has been nice.
Dark glasses, a hat.
Been doing a lot. Yankees hat.
So the play closes this Sunday. People still have a little opportunity to see it, and then you have other plans.
Vacation?
Yeah, I'm literally going to Disney World.
Are you really?
Yeah, my friends were going, and I've really never worked so hard on something, and overcome kind of a personal fear. So I thought.
And there are no movies in the loop.
I have a movie that comes out in October, which is called The Wedding right now. I don't know, which I actually shot here on the East Coast last summer, which was fun.
Well, more and more stuff is being done in the East Coast. Brooklyn is Chicago on The Good Wife, and Atlantic City on an HBO series. So welcome to the big town.
Thank you.
And I thank you both so much for being on our show.
Oh, thanks for having
thank
us.
Thank you.
Topher Grace and Olivia Thirlby, the stars of Lonely I'm Not at the Second Stage Theater, 305 West 43rd Street. For ticket information, you can go to our show page at wnyc.org.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.